Ingham's got it back outside the D. Ingham gets it to Rojas. Sends it in. Berisha! Besson Berisha! It's 2-1.
I just feel like very, very, very good that we won our first derby. You know, it took long, you know, for me. I had a couple of chances in the beginning and I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to score anymore. What is going on? But I'm so thankful that I score in the end and bring the 3 points for the boys.
Eminently watchable game of A-League on Saturday night. I'm a victory man and I felt that the 3 points were well deserved by the boys in the darker blue. As Michael Zapponi of Fox Sports joins us. Good morning, Michael.
G'day, Finey.
That was offside.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I mean, look, it's one of those offsides that I almost don't like the offside when it's the last player and it's sort of, it's the cross that deserves to be made. When it's that close to the goalkeeper, I think it's a legitimate goal, but really, by the rules of the game, you need a player and a goalkeeper between you, and that was offside.
Yeah, he was just marginally in front of Rojas when Rojas played the ball.
That's right. Forward. There was a forward pass.
Yeah, correct. But, you know, on the balance of play, I don't think Melbourne City could begrudge Melbourne Victory the win, because I thought Melbourne Victory were the superior side on the night. They created the better chances. They had the better of the play and really dictated the game, in my opinion, especially in the first half. You know, Besson Berisha could have had a hat-trick. You know, he had three chances last week and scored a hat-trick. In the first half on the weekend, he had three chances and didn't take one of them. In fact, it was almost, you know, schoolboy-like at times where he just looked like he lost complete confidence in his ability to do anything. And I actually asked him about it after the game, and his reaction at half-time was intriguing to hear him say that he smashed up everything. He went into the change room and had a fit, basically, and was really disappointed in his first half performance. And look, that's the mark of a great player. He come back out in the second half. He managed to put that aside somehow, and in the end had the vital intervention in the game. We scored the winner and equaled Archie Thompson's record of 90 goals in the A-League.
Sometimes I remind myself that Marco Rojas is a New Zealander, and I say it's a pity.
He's a great player, isn't he?
Oh, gee, he'd be good for the Socceroos. He's a great provider, and he just is that player between scorer and provider that any team would delight in having.
Yeah, and there was some doubt over his fitness coming into the game. He missed last week. He had some tight hamstring and missed last week. He was rushed back into the squad this week and started. And you can see why, because he's so important to this side. He runs at defenders. He creates, as you said, with some intricate passing, and then dribbles and runs at players and gets past them and creates great opportunities from that perspective as well. He scored the first goal for Melbourne Victory on Saturday night. And let's not forget, you know, when he left Melbourne Victory a couple of seasons ago, he left as the best player in the A-League, received all the accolades and went overseas to try a European career. That didn't quite come off for him. I still think he's got, you know, time on his side, and I think we'll see him in Europe at some point in the near future. But he's done the right thing, come back to Australia, dominate the A-League again, and that'll launch him into a European career, I'm sure, for a second chance. But he's certainly one of the best players in the A-League at the moment and a very important player for Melbourne Victory.
You quite rightly say that he left the league as the number one player in the competition. On his return, it's a debatable topic, but I think he returns with Bruno Fornaroli as the number one player in the competition. Though on Saturday night, John Van Skip found a hiding place for him, and I guess that's the conundrum when Tim Cahill starts. Where does Bruno Fornaroli fold in? Because I watched the game on TV. Maybe if I was there, I could have found him better, but I couldn't find him.
Yeah, you're right, because what happened on Saturday night is that Tim Cahill led the line. We've seen Cahill play in a couple of different positions in the Melbourne City formation. I prefer, if you're talking from a Bruno Fornaroli perspective, his best position is leading the line as well. So you can't have both of them in the structure that they're playing up the front in a 4-4-2 formation. They don't play that way. So with Cahill leading the line, then you have Bruno Fornaroli tucking in behind him and playing that second striker role. And you're right, it doesn't suit him as much as the reverse. So that's a conundrum that that John Van Schip will have to sort out through the rest of the year. And Kale's not starting every game. And when Kale doesn't start, then you have Bruno Fornaroli playing up front and looking a lot more dangerous in that role. So that's one thing that Van Schip will need to sort out for the remainder of the season. But Kale, again, you can't argue that he shouldn't be there because he did his job. You know, he is such a wily player. He knows where to be and when to be there and then how to finish. And give him half a chance and he'll normally take it. And his goal, again, was just a special effort to open the scoring on the weekend. He uses his body really well. He's got that great leap. And he spoke about it last night on Fox Sports on Shootout. He spoke about the fact that he had two players on him in that tangle for the ball, Carl Valeri and Lee Broxham. And they were trying to block him from getting to the ball. So he didn't have a big run-up at the ball. But what he does know how to do is use his body and then finish with that great direction that he got on the ball into that corner where it was very difficult for Lawrence Thomas to reach it.
Just on, one other game in particular, and Perth Glory opened the scoring against Sydney FC. Kenny Lowe and Perth had all of 3 seconds to enjoy that. That was a very short-lived lead. Graham Arnold after the game said that Danny Vukovic's the best keeper in Australia. This is a player that, in the end, was, I think, rightly cast aside by Melbourne Victory. It's an interesting call. He's a great, great shot stopper on his line. I don't know. Well, last year he was no good coming off his line. It's an interesting call by Graham.
It was a couple of interesting points about that. I thought he was outstanding on Saturday night. The one of the saves he pulled off at a crucial point of the game is, I don't think you'll find a better save this season. It'll take something special to beat that. And he kept them in the game when Perth were working really well. And they capitulated Perth. They lost 4-1 in the end. There's some real issues there. I reckon some hard questions need to be asked. They've had a couple of really bad results on the run now. And they've got a great squad. So something's not right there. There's a bit of infighting I'm hearing within the change room. And that is always concerning. But to your point about Danny Vukovic last year, I think, you know, he had a lot of issues off the field last year. He had a little boy and he's not well and quite a serious illness. And I think that was really difficult for him and his family to deal with, especially being away from home. And I know that that's an ongoing concern for them, but they're now back at home in New South Wales. And I think that's made the world of difference for him. He's been brilliant for them this year. So I think you could probably give him you know, that last year, that all those other issues probably added to what we saw in the field and affected the way he played his football.
And finally, a really good point by Tim Cale that he brought up on Fox Sports Shootout program, and that was the only way you can pick up a player sort of post the Christmas period is if that player is released by a club and then signed by another club. It's sort of unwieldy and doesn't happen all that often, even though David Carney made the move from Newcastle to Sydney like that. Tim Cale's calling for a January trade window.
Yeah, and why not? You know, I think that makes complete sense. I think we'll see Shane Smeltz announced today that he's coming back into the A-League and will rejoin the Wellington Phoenix. So he wants to have a crack at Bessart Berisha. He's on 89 goals, saying Shane Smeltz.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll continue to put pressure on Berisha for the remainder of the season, I'm sure. But it makes perfect sense, finally. And, you know, with January transfer window, you also have, you know, clubs in Europe trading players and buying players and bringing players in. So, you know, who's to say that we wouldn't have a big name from Europe, a big marquee player playing a guest stint of 10 or 14 games? That brings you through to the end of the season. So let's hope we see some of that, because there are some clubs that certainly could do with an additional player or two. And if players aren't getting games in their A-League clubs at the moment, they should be able to move freely.
Yeah, it's a great call. Michael, thanks for joining me this morning, and also all of the great work you and Dave Davidovich did on the World of Football on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. To you and your beautiful family, have a Merry Christmas, a happy and safe New Year, and we'll do it all again next year. And like any football club, we're going to tell our supporters we're even going to be bigger and better.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, Finey. Thanks for your help as well.